This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
From London, I'm Rochelle Travers, and this is The Standard.
Londoners now face a clear choice in a two-horse race.
With less than 2 weeks to go until the election, the London mayoral race is heating up.
This is a year of historic choice and of historic challenge.
A new exclusive YouGov poll for The Standard has shown that the Conservatives' Susan Hall is closing the gap on the current Mayor of London, Labour's Sadiq Khan. The Tory contender is on 27%, up 3 points from February, and her Labour rival is on 46%, down 3 points. Mr Khan still leads by 19 points. But with the countdown to Election Day on the 2nd of May truly on, could this two-horse race get even closer? I'm now joined by Ross Lydell, our City Hall editor and transport editor. Ross, is Susan Hall closing the gap with Sadiq Khan?
Susan has managed to close the gap, which is not entirely unexpected, but it's a small closing of the gap, shall we say. There was something of a great divide. There's still a considerable divide. It still looks like Sadiq is going to win if we believe the polls are accurate and reflect what Londoners will do on May the 2nd. According to the pollsters, this has come from YouGov for the Evening Standard, Sadiq retains a commanding lead. But the latest sort of scores on the doors are that Susan is on 27%, which is up 3 points, and Sadiq is on 46%, which is down 3 points. So whereas a couple of months ago he had a 25-point lead, he now has a 19-point lead. 19 is quite a big number.
What are some of the other key takeaways from this poll?
Well, in terms of the other candidates, they are sort of doing modestly well. Zoe Garbutt, the Green, is on 9. Rob Blackie, the Lib Dem, is on 8. Howard Cox, who is the Reform Party candidate, who is essentially the main anti-ULEZ candidate, if you look beyond Susan Hall, he's on 6. So each of those has the ability to take thousands of votes away from either Sadiq or Susan, because, of course, this time round, it's the first-past-the-post system that's in use. It's not the two-vote system that has been used in every other mayoral elections since 2000. So basically, anybody voting for these fringe candidates only gets one crack of the whip. And if their candidate doesn't get through, then that vote is lost. It really is a sort of essentially a two-horse race. That's the way it's shaped up to be under first-past-the-post. It's either very likely to be either Sadiq or Susan because of the voting system we've got. The other thing to bear in mind is that within the votes or the support for Susan and Sadiq, it rather shows a tale of two cities, not quite as Charles Dickens described, but in outer London, Susan is creeping up on Sadiq. You would think that actually in outer London, she should be stronger, far stronger, if she's got any chance of victory. But the latest scores are that she's on 33% and Sadiq on 38%. That's in outer London. Whereas in inner London, Sadiq is an unbelievable 64% and Susan 14%, which is frankly diabolical. And if she polls that lowly, actually on polling day, then she will have no chance of seizing City Hall.
Sadiq Khan launched his manifesto yesterday and you were there for the launch. What was it like? What were some of the standout policies? And how do you think they'll go down with Londoners?
The first thing that was notable about Sadiq's manifesto launch, which was done in a sort of mini conference centre just beside the O2 Arena in North Greenwich, was the appearance of the Labour Party deputy leader, Angela Rayner. Now, she has been a friend of the front pages, shall we say, over the last few weeks, because of the fuss over the sale of her former council house. Now, sadly, she didn't take any questions, certainly not from the Evening Standard afterwards, but it was notable that she decided to come along and support Sadiq. She did speak to the audience, but rather sort of hot-tailed it out of the room afterwards. So that was notable. In terms of the launch itself, I think it would have to be described as a successful one. It was all very polished. There was a lot of support from Sadiq. These were his own people, if you like, many assembly members or councillors or Labour activists. Nevertheless, it all went off pretty well, and he published his manifesto, which is something that Susan has not yet done. So, media attending were able to get in their hands a shiny little sort of 90-page document, a bit like a giant football programme, in which Sadiq set out his vision for a third term. The sort of blockbuster policy in Sadiq's manifesto is to continue free school meals for all London primary school children for 4 more years. This is a policy that started last September. It was introduced as a one-year sort of emergency policy by Sadiq to try and alleviate the cost of living crisis. But he's now promised that should he be re-elected on May the 2nd, he will continue this for 4 more years. It's not cheap. It costs £140 million a year, but it has proved very popular with many, many parents, certainly from my own experience at my daughter's school. This has really cut through. Parents are very well aware that they no longer have to pay any money for school lunches for their child or to go to the hassle of making packed lunches. So Sadiq has, I think, earned the support of many Londoners with this policy. He had a couple of other pledges on possibly extending the fares freeze if economic conditions allowed. He talked about trying again to get the Olympics back to London. You know, he did say a few years ago that he wanted the 2036 Olympics to come to London. That didn't happen. He's now aiming for the 2040 Olympics. So there was plenty in the manifesto to catch the eye. Is it a convincing case for a third term? Well, you know, I think we have to wait and see on that. But it wasn't a bad effort. The other big issue that Sadiq did tackle in his manifesto is of paper mile. He has been accused by the Tories and Susan Hall of planning, essentially secretly, to introduce a paper mile scheme. This would replace the ULEZ and the congestion charge and mean that motorists would have some sort of little detector in their car which would charge them according to the time they travelled and how far they travelled and what kind of vehicle they used. Now, this was a policy that was in Sadiq Khan's book a year or so ago, and it was something he asked Transport for London to investigate. So some research has been done. However, he has been quite clear for about the past 9 months that he was saying paper mile will not happen on my watch, not while I'm mayor. He's accused the Tories of dirty tricks in trying to keep this issue alive. So at his manifesto launch, he made efforts to essentially shut down this debate. And I asked him about this just when I got a chance to catch up with him after the launch.
And we can hear a clip of that interview now.
In your manifesto, you categorically rule out paper mile. Why did you feel the need to do that?
I don't think I've ever seen in a campaign as many lies, misinformation and disinformation that I've seen from the Tories in this campaign. And the concern we have is some Londoners may fall for these underhand tactics by the Tories. And so to avoid the scaremongering, fearmongering and lies leading to Londoners believing that, we've been quite explicit in this manifesto. It's not happening. We've also, by the way, published a letter I wrote to the Commissioner saying it's not happening.
Let's go to the ads. The Standard podcast will be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back. Ross, as you mentioned, no manifesto yet from Susan Hall. With less than 2 weeks to go, do you think we'll actually get one?
I think we will see one. I spoke to one of her aides the other day who said he was writing it and said essentially it sounds like it's due early next week. Now, she did promise to publish a manifesto soon after Sadiq Khan published his annual budget, but that was back in February. So she's not been on the sort of the fast train in actually publishing her policies. We do know some of what she's planned. And just a few days ago as well, she did promise to extend the night tube. She wants to extend it to the Hammersmith and City line and possibly also other what are known as the subsurface lines over time, should she be elected in a couple of weeks' time. So that would extend the night tube to the likes of the District and the Circle line and possibly even the Metropolitan line as well. So that was quite an eye-catching policy. We've known for some time that she is determined to scrap the ULEZ expansion on day one of Susan Hall mayoralty. We've known that she wants to target violent crime, recruit more police officers, open sort of two police bases in each borough as well. So she's very solidly kept to the sort of core messages of sort of crime and anti-ULEZ. But in terms of what else she's offering, we don't really know yet. So we wait and see on that. As I say, we should expect a manifesto in the next sort of 4 or 5 days from Susan.
As we've mentioned, there's less than 2 weeks to go now until Londoners vote. Do you think the polls could get narrower the closer we get to the election?
Well, I think the other thing I would say about the polls is that many polls now have put Sadiq ahead of Susan and quite well ahead. You know, it does appear that he is and remains on course for victory and probably a pretty comprehensive victory come polling day on May the 2nd. Many people already have their polling cards, so people will be starting to vote. You can see people sort of popping their envelopes back in the postbox. So Londoners are starting to vote. Ballots are being cast. The difficult thing about many of these polls is obviously these are a sample of, say, 1,000 people at a time, and they're meant to be representative of London. What we don't really see in this race, and it's a bit unusual from previous mayoral races, we as media haven't been invited out on the stump, as it's known, with the candidates. Both Sadiq's team and Susan's team have largely looked to keep the media away from any interaction with normal Londoners. Now, Sadiq, for his case, there are security concerns around him, and he's faced particular issues with some very sort of aggressive anti-ULEZ protesters, hence the need for his approach to the mayoral race to be a bit different this time round. Susan's team did invite me out last Monday. She went for a little walkabout round Golders Green and actually did very well and got a warm welcome from people she bumped into on the street. But what we're not really seeing is, you know, door to door, whether they are getting a good response, whether people are showing any interest in the race or whether there's hostility. So it's hard to gauge these polls. But the reality is that many have said the same thing, that Sadiq is well ahead. It's entirely likely that come polling day that Susan will do probably better than the polls expect and that Sadiq won't manage to get all his supporters to actually turn out. So the end result may be closer than the polls are indicating just now, but it would be an almighty shock if Sadiq Khan did not win the third term.
You can read more about the London mayoral election in the Evening Standard newspaper or on our website, standard.co.uk. And that's it from this episode. This podcast will be back on Monday at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.